You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So we are halfway through this Churchianity 101 series where we are looking at the biblical principles that God has called every church throughout history, throughout the world, to be applying. And then we're looking at the practices. What does that look like here at MC3? How do we do that? And before we get into that, I want to have a little bit of a talent show. So go ahead and why don't we hit the house lights here. And I need people, okay? I need people. That can anyone cross their eyes? Can you cross your eyes? Anybody? Cross your eyes. Seriously, come on, people. You got to help me out. All right, Marley, you can cross your eyes. Let's see. Like, do it. Okay, all right, good. Come on over here. Okay. All right, I need someone. Can anyone juggle? Yeah, but not me, see? Can anyone juggle? All right, Brock, come on up. All right, you can stand right there. Just you. All right, Brock. And we'll put you right here. So let's just give us a little sample here. Just a little sample, not the whole deal. There you go. Okay, good, good. That's a good sample. Good. It looked like you knew what you're doing. Yeah, it's like the humidity. It's because we can't decide whether we like the sun, we like the warmth, we like the cold. All right, how about somebody that can roll their R? All right, Lily Bennett, let's hear it. You got to prove it first. All right, good. Come on up. All right. Can anybody just stand right there next to Marley, please? Can anybody hula hoop? I totally thought Jen was about to raise her hand there. She was like, yep. Can hula hoop? Anybody hula hoop? Hula, hula, hula hoopa. Kyle, can you hula hoop? Oh. This isn't practice. This is because you can. All right, Kyle, come on up and hula hoop for us. He's got two mic packs and, like, the massive set of keys. Oh, boy. No, this is important. We need that for later. We're going to be like, why isn't that working? Okay, while we're waiting for Kyle. Yeah. You're good. You have two phones? Okay, man. Whatever, dude. Two phones in. Just give us a little taste. Oh, good, good. That's good. That was pretty good. All right. Now I need to know, is there anybody? Get over there. Get up there. Get away from me. All right. Can anyone roll your tongue? All right. I saw it right there. Can you roll your tongue like that? By the way, that's genetic. If you can't roll your tongue, it's because of your genes. I'm wearing shorts. Okay. All right. So, yeah, you can go down there. I need someone. Can anyone whistle? Yeah, but now I don't hear. Who can whistle? Not Tommy. All right. I'm hearing whistles everywhere. All right. Come on up here. Yeah. Welcome to MC3. Get up on the stage. And we're not going to embarrass you one bit, but we might. All right. Okay. So, yeah, right here. And so here's what I want you to do. On the count of three. So we've got, what are you doing? They're rolling your tongue. You're crossing your eyes. You're rolling your R's. You're whistling. You're hula hooping. Watch out for him. He's dangerous. And then you're going to juggle. This is probably... it's taped. All right. So on the count of three, you're all going to do your thing. So just, you're going to do it. Ready? So whatever you do, whether it's whistling, rolling, all that. Okay. One. Are we good? Oh, my word. One, two, three. Can you keep going? Good. Yeah. Keep it going, yeah. Like louder, make it louder. Are your eyes crossed? Come on. All right, we got juggling. Okay, all right, good. Did everybody do it? All right, give it. Oh, wow. That was impressive. All right, why don't you give them all a hand? What did you're not done up here? No. Now, I need each of you to pick someone that knows you best that's in this room right now. Yes, you pick them, and they need to come up and stand next to you. So pick someone that knows you best to come up and stand right next to you. All right? And that means the rest of you don't... Okay. You didn't think your brother? Your twin brother? Your twin? You were in the womb together. Okay. All right. Where are we? Okay. Oh, yeah, because Nikki's there. Okay. And then, okay. Now, I'm coming down here. Watch my feedback. Okay. All right. So, now, what are you doing? You're rolling your tongue. Okay. And you're crossing your eyes. Okay. And you're rolling your R's. And you're whistling. Excuse me. And you're hula hooping. And you're juggling. Okay. Now, these are people that know you well and care about you, I would think. Now, what I want you to do is, Peter, I want you to make her roll her tongue. Okay? Now, and wait, and Nikki, I want you to make her cross her eyes. Physically, yeah. Okay, I want you to make her roll her R's. You need to make her whistle. You make her whistle. Yeah, and you need to make him hula hoop, and you need to make him juggle. All right, on the count of three. One, two, three, go. Okay, all right. So that was an abject failure, as it should be. Because here's the deal. There are some things that only you can do. No one else can do it for you. Only you can do it. And so there are some things that only you can do, that only we can do as individuals. So why don't we give it up for our wonderful volunteers, leave the hula hoop on the stage, and thank you for the assistance as well. I'll take those here. Thanks. All right, Kyle, I'm going to go in front of you. You got all your stuff? You need those too. Okay, so there are certain things that only you can do. And we're going to be talking this morning as we continue on who we are as a church. We're going to be looking at MC3 family. And I want you to all understand that if you are a parent, you are the only person that can actually parent your kids. There are other people that can help, but God has called you as a parent to do that in their lives. Because as much as, I mean, we had some, maybe the finger crossing the eyes, and I saw some encouragement for the whistling. But for the most part, like it isn't the same. Because God has called parents to be the ones to parent their kids, to disciple their kids. And we're going to get into that in a little bit more. But when it comes to discipling your kids, God has called each of you as a parent to play that role on purpose. And no one else can take that for you, specifically the church. And there's many people, and you know, throughout at least the last, let's say, you know, 200, maybe 150 years of church, there have been people that are like, well, let's just bring my kids to the church, and it's their job to disciple them. It's their job. It's the church's job to get my kids to know Jesus. It's their job to make my kids grow in Him. And ultimately, that is not true. God has given parents the job to do that. And so the point that we're looking at this week, and again, we're going to come back to this, and we're going to go a little bit quick because of some things that are happening afterwards, but the church should support parents. So we see that if it's the parents' job, and we're going to come back to this in a little bit, if it's the parents' job to discipline's part of it too, but to disciple their kids, to tell them, to grow them, to teach them about Jesus, if that's their job, then what is it that the church can do? And the church should support those parents. So that's the general principle. And again, any church that says, you know what, just drop your kids off, we'll do it for you, they have taken the role that belongs to a parent. They've stolen that role. They've hijacked that role or kidnapped your kids. Because it's not the parent's job. Or it's not the church's job to do that, it's the parent's job. So if the church should support parents, then so MC3... what do we do here? What is our practice? We have MC3 family. And so this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about, is what does it look like for MC3 to have MC3 family? What does MC3 family do, and how can we come together to do that? Because again, as much as someone wants to get someone else to hula hoop or roll their R's, whatever, it's only that person that can do it. So, and if you're not parents, that's okay, because you have a role to play in this. Because every one of us can come and support those that are parents and be there for them. So I want to share from a passage that if you're Jewish, this is actually probably a very familiar passage to you. Chances are you're probably not Jewish, but it's a passage from the Bible in Deuteronomy 6. And I want to share a couple of things about this passage. And this is happening in a book called Deuteronomy. And it is the fifth book of what is called the Pentateuch, Pentamin 5, and that's the fifth book. And Deuteronomy takes place with Moses and the Israelites. And here's the deal. You probably know the story that the Israelites, they were held as slaves in Egypt. Eventually, God provided 10 plagues to deliver them miraculously from slavery out into what is called the Promised Land. And the people then crossed the Red Sea, and they were in the desert getting ready to go to the Promised Land. But the people rebelled against God and said, there's no way we can take over that land. And God said, fine, then we're going to allow that first generation, those parents, those adults that said, we can't do it. You're going to wander for 40 years till they die off. And once they're dead, your kids are going to have the privilege of going into the land. They're going to be the ones that will get this land because they have faith. And so after this 40 years of wandering, Deuteronomy, though there is two words coming together called Deutero and Nomos. And Deutero means second and Nomos means law. And so the book of Deuteronomy is what's called the second law. It is Moses repeating to the next generation all the laws. And so this is where you've got the Ten Commandments and all the different rules of the Hebrew law, of the Jewish law. And so Moses is bringing everyone together and saying, look, we're about to go into this land. Your parents are dead now. They were disobedient. Here's what it's going to take. And so he shares these things with them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he shares this very important passage that we're going to talk about this morning. And I want to share, just before we get into how it, we're going to look at the preamble. And the preamble, we have a preamble for our Constitution, right? Or is it the Declaration of Independence? It's been a long time. Which one has a preamble? What? Declaration? All right, is it good? Is it a good preamble? Probably. I mean, we're still free, so I guess it worked. So the preamble is kind of the setup. And so the setup is probably something that if you've maybe never been to church, maybe been to church once or twice in your life, you probably have heard this passage before. But the first thing we see in the preamble is who God is. Who God is. And so Moses is saying to the people who God is. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, this is what Moses says to the people. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone. Now, in your Bible, if you have the YouVersion app and you're looking at it, or if you have a paper Bible, the house lights are on there. It might have Lord in capital L-O-R-D, which means it is the Hebrew name Yahweh. And we did a series called The Name, and that's on the slide at the beginning and the end here that you can look at. You can go back to our website and watch or listen to that series where we talk about the names of God, and one of them was Yahweh. And he says, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. He says, listen, everybody, before we get into anything else, we need to lay it down that God is our God and no one else is going to substitute for him. He alone is our God. And so that's the setup for this. And the reason I say you might know this if you were Jewish is because every week at synagogue, this is what is called the Great Shema. And Shema is the word listen in Hebrew. And so if you were to go to synagogue with a Jewish person, they would say Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Ve'echavta et Adonai Elohecha. Ubeko levavka, ubeko napshika, ubeko melecha. Which is what that is recited over and over every week because this commandment is so important. So he says, listen, everyone. Shema Israel. Listen, Israel. The Lord is our God and only the Lord. So it's who God is. And then he goes on into now, okay, that's who God is. This is what we do. This is what the job of the Israelite people. And we've talked about this before, that Israel's promises don't apply to us. We're the church. We're not Israel, unless you're Jewish. And so God made a lot of promises to Israel, and that's why, you know, you can't go out and be like, hey, man, this house is up to be condemned. I know if I just walk around the walls a few times, it'll come down. No, because it was a promise specifically to Israel. But there are things that we can learn. There are principles that we can take away from this. And so there are some principles in this passage that we can take away. And this is how about what we do. So he says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And then Moses says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And so, again, you might be familiar with this verse because Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And the answer was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so this idea here, to love God with everything you've got. Love God. So Moses says, this is who God is, and this is what we need to do. We need to love God with everything. But then he shares a couple extra things. He says, also, you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Because Moses is about to lay out all the rules. And these are Old Testament rules. We did a series called Cropped where we looked at our Crop 2. And we talked about, it was a sequel to it. And we talked about some of the Old Testament rules, like why do we need to worry about boiling, you know, a goat in its mother's milk? And why aren't we worried about that now? And why do we still eat bacon and love it? Well, are we allowed to do that? Yes, because those are Old Testament covenant rules for the Jewish people, the Israelite people. But the principle for us is, hey, we can totally love God with everything we've got. And then commit yourselves wholeheartedly. And this is where I want to just take a pause before we go into talking about parents. Because I think sometimes, and I'm a parent. I've been a parent for 22 years. Our oldest is getting married this coming December. And we set the tents up in the parking lot this past weekend, and we're wiped out. We had to try it out, but anyway. So why am I saying that? Because I've been a parent. We've got four kids, and there's an easy way to do this. It's kind of like, hey kid, you better do this. Hey kid, you better learn. But Moses says to the Israelites, no, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to this. Moses says, before you start parenting, make sure you're applying. And it's not saying that we're perfect, and we're not getting it right every time. But start living these things yourself, because, you know, there's the old phrase, much more is caught than taught. Your kids are watching you. Your kids are doing the things that you do. And so he says, commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands. And then the third thing, and this is really where we're getting into it, is he says, repeat them again and again to your children. So Moses says, look, God is our only God, and so we need to love Him with everything we've got. Make sure that we apply ourselves, everything that we're learning here, all these commands, all these rules, and then it is your job to teach them, to repeat them to your kids. And the phrase repeat, the Hebrew word, is kind of the idea of a tracing or a drawing. Do you guys ever do those things where, like, you would, and the crayons exist? I mean, I'm old now, but do they still have crayons? Is that like a thing? Do kids use crayons? Okay. And like, it would be like a little sketchy pad thing, or it was like a thing, I don't know what you call it. And you'd lay a piece of paper over it and then go with a crayon. Anybody do something like that? Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's the idea. It's like something over and over and over. Use that template over and over. And so he said, over and over and over, repeat this to your kids. Get your kids to learn that. And so that's really where we're going. So Moses is saying to the Israelites, and God is saying to us, that we should love God with everything we've got. And that we need to take that in wholeheartedly and follow the instructions that God has given us. And then repeat them again. And again, and again, and again, and again to your children. So that's who God is, what we do. And then Moses gets into some very practical things where he says how we do it. So again, this was just the preamble. This was just setting up where we're going. So I want to zoom in on this, how we do it. And that is going to be the main content for this morning. So how we do it. The first thing that Moses shares, continuing in this, is that parents talk. Parents talk. And this is important because Moses is saying here that if you're going to parent, if you're going to disciple, if you're going to teach your kids, if you're going to repeat the commands day after day, you need to be intentional. You need to talk to your kids about Jesus. You need to talk to your kids about the Bible. You need to have that conversation. Just sitting next to them while you watch Peppa the Pig or whatever, Bluey, isn't doing it. You've got to be intentional. Is it Peppa Pig? Peppa the Pig? By the way, it's Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear, anyway. But you don't even know who he is if you don't know. Anyway, if you know Peppa, you probably don't know Smokey, and vice versa. Anyway, okay, moving on. So he says, parents talk. And then he gives some very practical ways to do that. He says, parents, talk at home. Talk at home. Because this is something that only you can do. And we're going to come back to this, and it's going to hopefully really, like, just be drilled in, like, wow, how powerful this is. But only you can have conversations with your kids at home. Like, there is something practical. And it's really cool. When God set these instructions up to Moses, we're looking at 1445, about 4 to 5,000 years ago, somewhere in that range. They still work today. And so he says, talk about them at home. And that's what he says. Talk about them when you're at home. This is the rule. Like, people back then had homes. It was tense, maybe. Past tense. But in the present tense, it's homes. Gee, okay, I know Smokey Bear and I make dad jokes, so deal. All right. But he says, talk about them when you're at home. Like, this is important. You're going to pass these on to your kids, and you're at home with them. And I think even in our culture today, there is still time when you are at home, when you're together at home. Maybe it's mealtimes. Mealtimes is a great time to talk to your kids because you're face-to-face, unless you're sitting in front of the TV, and that's what mealtime looks like. And let me just tell you, that's not a great pattern. Sitting together face to face. And there's all sorts of stats about parents and families that sit together at the table and what that means and success in school and all sorts of crazy stuff. So maybe you need to sit together at mealtime. It doesn't mean every meal, but maybe at mealtime you sit together and you're talking. Hey, what did you learn today? How was your day? And he says, talk about them, by the way. You're not just talking. You're talking about these commands. You're talking about God's instructions. So there's actually a point to it. He says, when you're together at home. The second thing is that parents talk at home, but parents also talk on the road. And again, if you've got kids in school and in sports and all the in practices and plays and ballet or whatever, you're often on the road. And that's what he goes on and says. He says, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road. So when you're going places, that is a great time to talk to your kids. You've got them focused there. Maybe you have to make some rules about what devices they're allowed to have in the car, because I probably can manage a 15-minute drive without looking at a tablet or a switch. Probably. You know, if you're on an 8-hour drive, like, give them a break, okay? Kids, we're going to read the entire Bible, starting, like, no, that's fine. I mean, that'd be great, but anyway. So he says, talk about them when you're on the road. And so there is road time, there is travel time. And you know, on your way to school, that's a good time to talk. On your way to practices, to rehearsals, that's a great time to talk. On your way home from church, that's a great time to talk. And this is a spoiler, there's a very particular purpose. Your kids are learning the same thing in Ignition right now so that you can have those conversations on the road going home from church. So if they say, what did you learn? We were talking about how parents need to help disciple their kids. Maybe they learned disciples, making disciples. And so then you can communicate that to your kids on the road. So continuing on, and these people are leaving on purpose. Don't freak out. Sorry. It's part of the plan. The third thing he says, parents talk at home, parents talk on the road, parents talk at bedtime. At bedtime, that's a great time. In our family, we used to have a tradition as the kids were younger. We would sit together and we would gather on one of the kids' beds and I would read to them. We went through the Chronicles of Narnia. That was my time. Kendra read the Lord of the Rings to them at a different time. But then the whole family would come together and we would pray. That was always the last thing we did before bedtime. And then later, as they got older and we weren't sitting around listening to Daddy reading, we still had prayer time together every night. Just got together. And it got to the point that if we were like, hey, good night, kids, and we'd send them up, they'd come down like a half hour later and be like, we didn't pray. I'm like, that's a good pattern to have. That's a good habit to have. So bedtime, because everybody goes to bed. So it's a great thing. It's a great little milestone, a little marker. He says, when you go to bed. And so that's what he says. Talk about them when you are going to bed. Another great time to do that. And then finally, he says, parents talk at home, on the road, at bedtime, and in the morning. Again, he goes on in the rest of the verse of 7. Talk about them when you are getting up. And maybe it's in morning, and I know the mornings are chaotic. You're making lunches, you're getting shoveling down breakfast, you're grabbing a Pop-Tart, you're grabbing a Nutri-Grain bar, whatever that looks like. But there's that time together, and maybe that's just a, hey, love Jesus and love others when you go to school today. Maybe it's a simple thing like that. Hey, remember that kid you said that nobody likes to talk to? Maybe you can find a time today just to be nice to them. So you talk about these things when you're getting up. So the first thing says parents talk. That's how we do it. And the second thing that Moses shares is that parents remind. And we'll see this in a second. But they remind kids. And the phrase that we're going to see here is actually something that means to be a memorial. And the root of memorial is memory or reminder. And so he goes on in verse 8 and says, do you remind your kids in what they do? And he has this symbolic thing where he says, tie these commandments to their hands as reminders, as memorials. And it's not meant to be literal, and then the Jews ended up taking it too literal, and Jesus was like, that is not what the point was. It wasn't that you have Bible passages wrapped around your wrist. They were called phylacteries, where they would put these boxes and put pieces of the Bible in there. He's like, no, this is meant as a reminder. What is it that your hands do? What do you do? And use that as a reminder of these things, of these commandments, of what it looks like. And so maybe it's talking to your kids and reminding them about some things that they're doing. Wow, I had way ahead on my notes here. You know, what are the things that they're using their hands for? And maybe you need to encourage them and say, wow, I saw what you did the other day. I saw how you helped that person. I saw what you did for your sister, for your grandma. Good job. Because they did something. And maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's like, you know, when you did that, that was wrong. Because parents, we need to encourage and discipline. We need to correct as well. That's also part of the process. And saying, no, let's do this the right way. So he says, tie them to your hands as reminders. Then he goes on and says, not only in what they do, but in what they think. He goes on then and says, wear them on your foreheads as reminders. And the foreheads, again, it wasn't meant in the Jews in Jesus' time. They actually had boxes that had pieces of scripture tied to their heads. And he's like, what? No, that is not what was meant by this. It's meant, what are the things you think about? And maybe there are things that your kids say and they're like, yeah, the other day I saw this kid and he was dumb. And so I said, yeah, you're dumb. And you're like, okay, maybe we need to talk about that. Maybe there's something to think. Maybe they come home and say, today was really bad. Why? What is it? What's going on in your mind? What are you thinking about? And then directing them into what Jesus. Maybe if they said, I had a bad day, nobody likes me. Maybe it's a reminder for them of how Jesus feels about them, how God loves them. And then finally, they remind in what they think. Then they remind in where they go. And he wraps up the passage and says, tie them to your hands, wear them on your foreheads, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And a doorpost, gate, those are the places that where you leave. That's when you're going out. And so Moses says, look, you guys are going places. When you leave the house, talk to your kids. Use that as a time to point them to Jesus. Maybe they're feeling down because they haven't played well on the team. Maybe they haven't scored a goal or a run or whatever, a touchdown, pick your scoring. And maybe you can say, hey, but are you kind to your teammates? Maybe that's what matters more. And that's a way to remind them about that. Because, again, it's the parents' job to disciple their kids. It's your job as parents to do that for your kids. It's my job to do that for my children. And I can't just trade that off. And I get there's complicated situations and there's, you know, blended families and a lot of things like that. But I'm just saying, work with what you've got because it's your job. And so the church should support parents. Because if it's your job, we don't want to be like, hey, good luck at that. Or take your kids and be like, sorry, we're going to do it for you because you can't do it. And let me tell you something I've learned. That even people that we would consider bad parents want to be good parents. Most parents want to be good parents. Even if we're talking about alcoholic or abusive, on some level in there, and I'm not saying we approve of those things, but on some level, there's still a desire to be like, I want to be a good parent. So the church isn't going to be like, no, we're better than you. We can do it better than you. We want to say, how can we support you? And then in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this to the church. He says, parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly. Raise them. Mean parent them. Raise them. And he says specifically, teach them and instruct them about the Lord. And we did a series called Fences where we talked about this passage in depth. But here clearly Paul is saying to the church that it's our job, parents, to raise our kids, to teach them and instruct them about the Lord, to teach them about Jesus. Not just how to tie their shoes, not just how to be a good teammate, not just how to hunt and fish. Those things are swell, but they don't matter compared to teaching them about Jesus. And so that is your job as a parent. That is my job as a parent. So we say we want to come alongside of you and help you. So that raises the question, then what is MC3 Family? What does that look like here at MC3? And there's a very interesting thing. There was a study done by a group called the Orange Group. And they were talking about church. And they said that, you know what, in an average church, the, you know, when you count for vacations and sickness and all that, the average church has about 40 hours a year to invest into kids. And so if the church says, we're going to invest into kids, it's 40 hours a year, how are we going to make those 40 hours work? Because that's all we've got. And so 40 hours here, since we're going with the bulletin board theme, there are 40 pushpins on that board. So that's 40 hours a week. A year. And then they were studying and they were like, you know what? They found out that when you account for going to school and practices and bedtimes and sleeping and things like that, there's about 3,000 hours a year that parents have with their kids. And that's not sitting down 24/7. That's just outside of school. That's outside of sports. That's outside of all those other things where they're just with them. And so this is 40 right here, right? So just for fun, here is 100. That's 100. So they said, you know, your average family has 3,000 hours with their kids at home. This is what 3,000 looks like. And you can't tell, but there are layers on top layers. I tried to make them fit, but I just couldn't. And so the Orange Group was saying, hey, what if instead of trying to make 40 hours, all we've got, use those 40 hours to grow kids in Jesus, what if we use those 40 hours to invest into families to leverage the 3,000 hours? And we're like, and so at MC3, we're like, based on Deuteronomy 6, yes, that is something we want to do. We're not just going to take your kids for 40 hours. We're going to use those 40 hours to help you raise your kids, to help you disciple them, to help you invest in them. And so that's what we're doing. So what is MC3 Family? It's basically two main things. The first thing is Ignition. And that is Sunday morning from nursery all the way through fifth grade. And by the way, we don't feel like nursery is babysitting, because nursery is showing these kids that someone else loves them at the church. And maybe that's the first time they've felt outside of your home that someone loves them and cares for them. And it also is an investment in you, because you're able to be here and not wrangling all your kids. And that's okay. And I've had parents who are like, oh, my kid's crying back there. You know what? Crying didn't hurt anybody. They care about them. They're cleared workers. But if it allows you to focus, they'll take the crying for an hour. I'm moving into, I'm not there yet, but I'm moving into granddad role, grandpa role. And, you know, I love watching my grandparents with my parents with our kids, because they're like, oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, their diaper's dirty. So I'm looking forward to that, you know. But I don't mind taking the crying if that'll help. I love that in our prime group. Like, we got millions of kids in our prime group. There's probably a million, maybe less. It's probably more like 500,000. But they're all like this tall. And I love that, like, hey, if I can take your kid and it cries on my hand so that you can pay attention to the discussion, I'm down with that. So MC3 Family, sorry. So it's all these ages. And what they're learning in there is the same thing that you're learning out here. Preschool has a little bit different because they're really young and not quite able to take all of that. And you can find all this on our website at mc3church.org/mc3family. But Ignition is taking place right now. They're having games. They're learning things. They're learning a verse every month. And you get a verse card with your kids. And the idea is that you can help them learn it. And they're learning the verse from this series. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. I think maybe there's a little bit shorter. But Matthew 28. But there's a verse card, and you can go home and say, hey, let's practice this verse together. You can get in the car and say, hey, next week we're talking about baptism. Hey, what did you learn about baptism? So there's ways that you can have these conversations with your kids, because we want to come alongside of you to do that. And our workers are cleared. They've all got their background checks, because we want it to be a safe place. And we have the check-in process and all of that for very intentional reasons. So that's part of it. The second part is Jumpstart. And Jumpstart is our brand new, it started last year. It's a brand new thing that we do for, as Steph shared earlier, for kids and their parents to come together. And we have this time where we have some games. We kind of teach you what the theme is for the next month. We have an activity that's called a jump starter. And the activity is some kind of thing that you take home so that in those 3,000 hours as a parent, you can invest time with your kids and teaching them about Jesus. And so it's very intentional and it's very on purpose. And let me just be straight with you. It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of work because we want to invest in families. So the kids are coming in from Ignition right now, and they're going to sit with you. And we're going to do, as we've been doing every part of this series, we've been doing the Churchianity Lab. We're learning the content, but then the lab is how we put it into practice. And so you are all, and you're stuck now, and you can't leave. You're going to be a part of Jumpstart with us. And we'd love for you to participate, to be a part of it with the kids, with the families that are around you. And we will be done right around 11:30, so we're not going to be too late. But it's to give you a chance to taste what this is. And maybe you aren't a parent of a K through 5th grader, preschool through 5th grader. But maybe you know someone that is, and you can invite them to be a part of our next Jumpstart. But yeah, we are going to be doing this right now. So the point for this week is that parents, the church, should support parents. So MC3 has MC3 Family. Let's go into the Churchianity Lab.